The chem storm broke at 8:15, according to Ryan Scron. It filled the air with the stink of ozone, and the thunder shook the trading post's main house. Ryan watched the poisonous rain spill from the leaden indigo sky from a windowed room off the dining area. He had his arm around Christy. They'd almost left the house and headed back to the barn before the storm burst loose. For the moment, they were trapped in the main house. Baron Shaker walked into the room. Three Sekhmen flanked him, but he waved them off as he approached Ryan. Turning, keeping one hand on Christy, Ryan dropped his other hand to the Sig Sauer. The Baron seemed even more imposing in the shadows, bigger and colder. Ryan didn't say anything. Too many hard years had trained him to be silent until all the cards were on the table.
Storm spectacular, isn't it?
Certainly is.
I didn't catch your name, mister.
Didn't throw it. Name's Ryan.
Have you another name?
Ryan'll do.
My name's Curtis Shaker. Yes, quite a storm indeed. That's a hellish thing to be caught out in. Lucky for us, Annie's trading post is here. You came by the boat tied up at the pier below?
Yeah.
It's not your boat, though.
No. I hired the boat skipper and his sons.
I also heard there were more people with you than just the ones at the table inside.
You taking a census?
I've always been of a curious nature. Now I find myself curious about you.
I was always told that if a man's business extended much past his nose, he often found himself in over his head, real sudden-like.
Wise words. Under other circumstances, maybe I'd listen to him. But not now.
What is it that you want?
To know more about you.
We're scavengers.
Looking for what?
Whatever we can find. We brought blasters into trade with Annie.
So I'd heard. But in my experience, scavengers tend to hang around a certain area, mining whatever rumors and half-truths they can find.
I'm more antsy than most. But getting back to the curiosity part, you asking so many questions makes me curious about you.
Bring on the questions. Why not? I'm in a magnanimous mood. Good food and creature comforts have always brought that out in me. What do you want to know?
What are you doing here? Most barons I've heard about seem more content to stay at home rather than wandering the countryside. Still got a lot of rat areas around here. Chemstorms and muties. Why not stay at home?
Because I'm a searcher, Ryan. I was brought up by a very idealistic father compared to most of the power mongers you see in the Deathlands. He taught me to read. Taught me a love for the history books concerning the time before the nuke cost. He was convinced that something more happened 100 years ago than just the genocide of the world.
The line of thinking reminded Ryan of the talks he'd had with the Heimdall Foundation people.
I've spent time and part of the considerable wealth my father has left me, and to which I've added, in the pursuit of certain knowledge.
About things before the nuke cost?
Exactly.
I don't see that it would matter one way or another. Time's going forward, not backward.
Once, when I was young, I thought in the same fashion. But I've changed my mind. Think of it, Ryan. We could recover but a fraction of the knowledge that was lost during the nuke cost. So much could be gained.
By you?
By anyone who takes the time to learn. By me, yes.
You ever think maybe all that knowledge was what brought about the nuke cost in the first place?
There's some who believe perhaps the nuke cost was brought about by an outside force.
It was war that destroyed the world. Paranoia fed by a nuke arsenal.
I don't know if I completely believe that.
Then what do you believe?
I believe that a few months ago an abandoned space station fell from the sky. Its orbit decayed and it fell from the heavens, breaking up as it re-entered the atmosphere. I've been told that one of the pieces landed very near this place. Maybe only a little farther north. Do you know anything about that?
No. But even if you're right, how can you be sure that it didn't just burn up?
Because I've recovered one of the pieces, and I want the others.
I hate to disappoint you, but we don't have any.
Just letting you know, there are others out trying to get those pieces. Some of them work for the Heimdall Foundation. You ever heard of them?
No.
JB appeared in the doorway. He stood with his Uzi peeking from under his jacket.
Ryan, time to go. Rain's letting up, and we need shut-eye. No telling when it'll start again or when it'll let up next time.
Guess we'll be going.
The Baron's Sekhmen started to move forward on an intercept course. Shaker waved them down.
Another time, perhaps.
Maybe.
Later, Christy lay beside Ryan in the quiet dark of the barn. He'd chosen to make their bed in the hayloft, where they had a view of the trading post's inner courtyard. Her head ached even more fiercely than it had an hour ago. She hadn't mentioned it, but the dinner had been spent in sheer agony.
Shaker was telling the truth about the space station.
As far as he knows it. Did he believe we didn't know anything about it?
No.
Ryan shifted behind Christy, pressing his crotch against her buttocks. She felt his erection through the material, and her own sudden lust pushed some of the pain away inside her head. She reached for him without turning.
You feeling up to this?
Yes.
Christy rolled over into his arms, and in minutes their clothing was spread out across the blankets they made their bed on, and across the loose straw in the loft. Giving in to the hunger that drove her, Christy rolled Ryan over and straddled him.
Take him while you can, slut! Take your triple bastard lover! Take him and fuck him all you can and turn your back on your ties to the Chosen!
Christy tried to ignore the dead woman's voice. She gave herself over to her efforts, hoping Florin would be shamed to the back of her mind.
Flaunt your immoral ways! Turn your back on the beliefs of the Chosen, but you can't turn your back on me! You have no birth control, and I can tell that you're fertile now.
No. With my powers, I'm able to tell when it's possible for me to become pregnant, and I can prevent it.
Oh, not this time. This time, when your man's seed enters your body, I'll make it quick. I'll let you hear the heartbeat of your newborn child within your womb, and when you link your heart to its heart, I'm going to kill it and let you listen to its mind as it dies.
No!
Christy lunged sideways, yanking Ryan out of her. She was unable to stem the sudden nausea that turned her stomach over and over.
Christy?
Can't, lover. Please don't touch me. Please.
What's wrong?
The bitch! That fucking bitch inside my head. I'm sorry, lover. Truly, I am.
It's okay. We're not gonna let this beat you. You just hang on. We'll find a way out of it.
Christy surrendered herself to Ryan's touch and let herself cry quietly on his shoulder, not wanting to wake anyone else. Even in his arms, with him holding her tight, she felt more alone than she ever had in her life. The attack came just before dawn.
Shit!
Ryan woke with a start and grabbed for the stire. He reached for his pants with his free hand. Crouched at the edge of the hayloft opening, he gazed out toward the southern wall, toward the river where the sounds of battle seemed to be coming from. The trading post's inner courtyard suddenly leapt into activity. Sekhmen ran to man the defensive areas atop the catwalk along the palisade walls. Most of them clustered along the south wall, firing as soon as they fell into position. Christy struggled to wake. During the night, she hadn't slept well. Her gun filled her hand as she pulled her clothes on. Ryan buttoned his pants, then pulled on his shirt.
JB!
Up!
Get everybody else up! Time to move!
See anything?
The attack's coming from outside!
Shit! The boat!
I'm going to check it!
We'll be ready.
Careful, lover.
We can't afford to lose that boat. We tried going overland on foot, but it'd take us weeks to get where we're going. Maybe too late by then.
Ryan slung the stire and leapt up from the hayloft opening, grabbing the roof's edge. He hauled himself up and leapt from there to the catwalk. Max swarmed up a nearby ladder, bristling with weapons.
What's going on?
Rival party that's been hunting Shaker and his group. I don't have a name and it doesn't matter. Annie gave her protection and that's how it's gonna stand. Now you get to earn all that ammo and clothing you were given.
Ryan ran toward the south wall, unslinging the stire. Reaching the wall, Ryan stayed well clear of the knot of Sekhmen and peered over the top. He scanned the 100 yards of trail and rough terrain that led to the precipice over the pier area. Nearly 3 dozen men were scattered throughout the zone, barely showing in the graying pleadon light breaking over the eastern horizon.
Make way for the Baron!
Ryan glanced over his shoulder as Shaker climbed onto the catwalk. Immediately, the firing by the Sekhmen became more systematic, dropping their adversaries in the broken land before the trading post. Shouldering the Steyr, Ryan briefly aided the Sekhmen in putting down a rush by the enemy forces. As soon as he lowered the rifle's telescopic sights over one target and squeezed the trigger, he moved on to the next. The attackers scattered before the withering fire. Ryan ran back along the catwalk to the barn. All of the companions, except Doc, stood outside, their gear packed.
The boat?
Still there as far as I know. But at this point, I don't know much. Can't see the boat from up here.
If those people get their asses handed to them, they'll be looking for a quick way out. Storm the way it was last night, there's probably not much chance they came by a boat of their own. River had been too wild.
Ryan looked up and spotted a cannon atop the main house, a long snout poking through the roof. Judging from the way it was set up, he guessed that the weapon was mounted on some type of elevator system that raised and lowered it through the house. With the way the house was designed, he didn't doubt that it was normally kept in the basement level and raised all the way to the roof when needed.
What do we do, Lover?
We leave. Get Morse and his boys out here. And Elmore, they're going with us.
What about the people we took with us from Idaho Falls?
They make their own way from here. It'll be safer than where we're going.
Doc raced through Annie's private rooms, the Lama in his hand. With the sound of the first few shots, Annie had leapt from the bed. Doc had been slower, his head dulled somewhat by the previous night's party and keeping pace with the woman's libido. The next room had been converted into an art studio. Paint pots and carving tools covered the workbenches and shelves. Then Doc spotted the section of wall that wasn't quite flush with the rest. He pressed against the wall, and it opened wider, sliding back on well-greased hinges. The darkness beyond the yawning mouth was broken by a light from above. Doc stepped inside and peered around. A shaft sank through the floors above and below. He deduced that it went all the way into the basement. Pulley ropes hung in the center of the shaft. Glancing up, Doc saw a platform above. A ladder was built into the wall to his left, constructed of pieces of wood nailed across the wooden wall braces. Doc tucked the Lama through his belt and climbed the ladder. Above Doc, Annie sat on the platform in a chair next to a 20mm cannon, converted to work with elevation and peripheral controls. She made adjustments with wheels that controlled jagged-toothed cogs that moved the blaster.